Happy greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off in Kenya, where the country's national football team, the Harambee Stars, edged the Swallows of Burundi Thursday 1-0 in extra time to advance to the final at the 39th CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup Tournament. Wivon Isuza scored the game-winning goal in the 7th minute of extra time at Moi Stadium in Kenya's western city of Kisumu. Now, Isuza is based in the capital, Nairobi, where he's a midfielder for the club AFC Leopards. The Kenyans will now face the winner of Friday's second semifinal between Zanzibar and defending champion Uganda, which also will be played in Kisumu. The final will be played Sunday at Kenyatta Stadium in Machakos, located about 60 kilometers southeast of Nairobi. This tournament is for member teams of CECAFA, the Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations. Libya and Zimbabwe were invited as guest teams for the 2017 CECAFA Cup, but Zimbabwe withdrew, citing security concerns. The Libyans did not advance out of the group stage, drawing 3 matches and beating Zanzibar 1-0. Now let's go to Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, where defending champion Real Madrid of Spain will play Brazil's Grêmio in Saturday's final at the FIFA Club World Cup football tournament. Real advanced to the final Wednesday with a 2-1 victory over Abu Dhabi-based Al Jazeera club. Welsh star Gareth Bale scored with his first touch in the 81st minute after coming off the bench for Real Madrid. His goal broke a 1-1 deadlock as the 12-time European champions survived a scare against the local UAE club. Al Jazeera's Brazilian striker Romarinho gave the Abu Dhabi team a surprising 1-0 lead in the 41st minute, and Portuguese star Cristiano Ronaldo then equalized for Real Madrid in the 53rd minute. Real Madrid is trying to become the first team to successfully defend the trophy since the FIFA Club World Cup began in 2000. And Gareth Bale says the target is clear.
Yeah, that's our objective. That's why we're here, to retain our title. And yeah, we've come over here to win another one. So yeah, we know it's going to be another difficult game on the weekend, and we'll prepare everything for it.
Meanwhile, Gareth Bale's Welsh homeland is where Manchester City Football Club continued its record run in the English Premier League. Man City scored a 4-0 road victory over last place Swansea Wednesday. It was Man City's 15th consecutive victory, a record never achieved in the 129-year history of England's top division. Spanish star David Silva scored 2 goals for Manchester City, while the Belgian Kevin De Bruyne and the Argentine Sergio Aguero also found the net. Manchester City is unbeaten after 17 matches with 16 wins and a draw. That puts Man City 11 points ahead of crosstown rival Manchester United, which beat visiting Bournemouth Wednesday 1-0 on a goal by Romelu Lukaku. Tottenham Hotspur climb back into fourth place in the EPL with a 2-0 victory over Brighton at Wembley Stadium in London. In Wednesday's other English Premier League results, Leicester scored a 4-1 road victory over Southampton. Everton defeated host Newcastle 1-0. West Ham and Arsenal played to a scoreless draw. And Liverpool and visiting West Brom played to another scoreless draw. So here's how the EPL table looks at the very top. Manchester City with 49 points. Manchester United with 38 points. Chelsea has 35 points. And Tottenham Hotspur, Liverpool, and Burnley all have 31 points. Tottenham has the fourth position right now, based on goal difference. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll continue our look back at the 2017 IAAF World Championships in Athletics in London. So please, keep on the sunny side.
Keep on the sunny side.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In athletics, this evening, we continue our look back at this year's IAAF World Championships in London. Two long-distance runners from Kenya won world titles in the men's and women's marathon. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, reporter Samson Omale tells us more.
The highlight was a gold medal won by Kenya's Geoffrey Kipkurui Kirui in the men's world marathon, making up for his country's podium no-show in the last two championships. Kirui, this season's Boston Marathon winner, clocked 2 hours, 8 minutes, 27 seconds.
I was very happy. Yeah, I was more prepared because you have to train in somewhere hilly because of the hill that you are running. When you are in 38K, you know, maybe the legs will be very tight to move. But then Tola tried to walk. I leave him.
In the women's category, Bahrain's Rose Chilimo claimed gold in a dramatic manner to deny Edna Kiplagat's mission of becoming the first athlete to win 3 marathon world titles as she settled for silver. The 28-year-old Chilimo, a Kenyan-born athlete who qualified to compete for Bahrain last August, finished in 2 hours, 27 minutes, 11 seconds after resisting what looked like a decisive break from her 37-year-old Kenyan rival, Edna Kiplagat.
All the way I tried so hard, I worked so hard, and the last 2 kilometers was too long for me, and it was slightly uphill, so I think I was a little bit tired.
South African Luvo Mayunga won gold in a men's long jump with a leap of 8.48 meters.
Yeah, it's been a great year, but when I was starting the competition, I felt so much pressure. I've been leading the whole year, so people will expect more from me. And I did it the way I wanted to happen.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
In the men's and women's 100-meter dashes, Justin Gatlin and Tory Bowie upset the gold medal favorites from Jamaica, both reigning Olympic champions. Gatlin clocked 9.92 seconds to win gold in the men's final. Fellow American Christian Coleman got the silver in 9.94 seconds, while pre-race favorite Usain Bolt in his final 100-meter race won the bronze in 9.95 seconds. Bolt says Gatlin deserved to win the gold.
He's well-deserved, you know what I mean? I've said it over the years that he's a great competitor, you know what I mean? If you don't show up on the night, he will beat you, you know what I mean? And for me, I didn't show up tonight. My start was horrifying, as always, and it's surprising. Shorter runs, I always get better, but I didn't, so just one of those things.
Usain Bolt received the royal treatment from newly crowned world champion Justin Gatlin, who knelt on the track and then bowed to the Jamaican star.
Class act, man. He's got a guy that he changed the sport. He could command anything he wants, and he just wanted the best for the sport. And I just wanted to push him to be the best he can be, and I've said it throughout the years. And him and his coaches always said to me, congratulations, good luck. And he always said that when he races against me, he has to bring his A game. And I'm happy for him, all he's done for the sport, and I'm thankful for him.
Meanwhile, some of Usain Bolt's many fans in his home country of Jamaica gathered in the capital, Kingston, to watch the retiring superstar in his final 100-meter race. Among those on hand was Jamaica's Prime Minister, Andrew Holness.
Everybody is disappointed. We all wanted to see Usain win in his final race before retiring, especially in the 100 meters sprint race. But as I said before, what he has managed to accomplish in his career is superhuman. But at the end of the day, Usain Bolt is a human being. And we love him. We admire all that he has done. He has been a source of inspiration. And he ought to be praised. And we in Jamaica love Usain Bolt. The world loves Usain Bolt. And you could hear the commentators at the stadium pay their respect to a great sportsman who, because of him, the entire sporting fraternity has been elevated. So, you know, we are happy, but at the same time, it's a little bit of sadness not to see him win. But we still praise him.
Praise from Kingston, Jamaica. That's Andrew Holness, Jamaica's Prime Minister. In the women's 100-meter dash final in London, American Tory Bowie leaned over the line for the gold medal to edge Ivory Coast sprinter Marie-Josée Talou. Bowie clocked 10.85 seconds, while Talou had a personal best of 10.86 seconds to get the silver. Daphne Schippers of the Netherlands won the bronze in 10.96 seconds, while 2016 Olympic champion Elaine Thompson of Jamaica finished a disappointing fifth. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
I
The Houston Rockets remain the hottest team in the National Basketball Association. The Rockets won their 11th consecutive game Wednesday night, beating the Charlotte Hornets 108-96. The explosive backcourt for the Rockets, star guards Chris Paul and James Harden, showed off their scoring prowess in Houston's latest victory. Paul scored a season-high 31 points, while Harden had 21 points. The Rockets have won 17 of their past 18 games to improve their record to 22 wins and only 4 losses, the best record in the NBA. The Boston Celtics have the NBA's second-best record, 24 victories and 6 defeats. The Celtics set a season high in points Wednesday night when they beat the visiting Denver Nuggets 124-118. Star guard Kyrie Irving had 33 points and 7 assists for the Celtics. Elsewhere, the Chicago Bulls beat the visiting Utah Jazz 103-100. Nikola Mirotic, the international big man who I mentioned earlier this week on the show, had another big game for the Bulls. Mirotic, who was born in Montenegro and represents Spain internationally, had 29 points and 9 rebounds for the Bulls. It was his best performance since he returned to the court last week after missing the start of the season with facial fractures. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, let's stick with the National Basketball Association and go to Indianapolis, Indiana, where last night the Oklahoma City Thunder faced off against the Indiana Pacers. And it was a bit of a chilly homecoming for one Paul George. George played for the Pacers for the first 7 years of his NBA career, doing quite well for himself there, before leaving the team and joining the Oklahoma City Thunder for this season. So when Paul George was announced during the player introductions before the game, Sonny, the fans weren't exactly welcoming. And I could describe the reaction, but I think it's even better if you hear it.
Let's meet the starters for the Thunder. Returning to Indiana for the first time, the Pacers welcome back forward number 13.
So as you can hear there, fans were not happy to see Paul George back in Indiana wearing another team's uniform. And a lot of Pacers fans were making their displeasure known on social media, calling Paul George a traitor, saying that he abandoned the team. And so we didn't just hear it in the arena there. We heard it on the internet as well. But despite that cold reception, Sonny, George jogged over to the Pacers bench and he greeted his former teammates and coaches. And that was a move that some fans said was a nice class act. Even though you get booed, you still go over, say hi to your friends and people that you worked with for so many years. So they said that was a nice move on his part. Now, the Pacers fans may not have been happy to see Paul George, but someone they were happy to see, especially given their opponent, was Victor Oladipo. Now, Victor Oladipo played for the Oklahoma City Thunder in the 2016-2017 season before leaving there to come to the Indiana Pacers. So a little bit of a swap between the two teams. And fans let him know how much they appreciated that move. Oladipo got a huge ovation when he was announced. And a fun fact, Sonny, even though he's playing for Indiana, Oladipo has both an African connection and a Washington connection.
That's right.
His mother is Nigerian. His father is from Sierra Leone. And he grew up just a few miles from our VOA headquarters in the town of Upper Marlboro, Maryland. So two connections to this show, I would say, being here at the VOA headquarters in Washington and a show that goes out to Africa.
And he also has a tie to Indiana in that he played his college basketball, I think, at the University of Indiana. So those fans are pretty familiar with Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why they're happy to have him there in Indianapolis. And now all that excitement in Indianapolis comes amid a big announcement about the city from the NBA that Indianapolis will have been chosen to host the 70th NBA All-Star Game in 2021. Of course, they decide these cities well ahead of time, so that's why 5 years out, we're getting word about this. And while Pacers fans are very excited online about this, other fans don't seem to be. They're wondering why Indianapolis and not a bigger city like New York or Las Vegas or Houston or Los Angeles. And speaking of which, Los Angeles is going to host the 2018 All-Star Game, which is going to be on February 18th at the Staples Center, which is home of the Lakers and the Clippers. But a little bit of work cut out for them in Indianapolis. They have a few years to get fans pumped up about that All-Star right. game, and so they have some time to do that.
And it's not just one game. I think the NBA really takes the whole weekend to kind of celebrate the league, and they have exhibitions and various skills-type contests. It's a real fun weekend, I think.
Yeah, we've seen that a lot in sports. Major League Baseball does that as well, where they have the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game and the Celebrity Game. The NBA is the same thing. The Celebrity Game always gets a lot of attention. You have a lot of different elements, contests and skills competitions that go on that a lot of fans really love.
And speaking of All-Star Games, let's give a shout-out for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, Andrew, because in 2018... it will be held not too far from our Voice of America headquarters at Nationals Park.
Yes, they've had a big banner up for, I think, 3 or 4 years right outside the park that says home of the 2018 All-Star Game. So finally, the date is almost here.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we've talked a lot on the show about how sports leagues are embracing digital and social media as a way to broadcast their games, between Twitter partnering with the NFL, Facebook showing Premier League and La Liga matches. There's a lot of sports on social media. And we have the latest partnership today between a sports league and a social network, and it could be a preview of the future of sports broadcasting online. Because the National Basketball Association has announced that it will broadcast some of its games from its developmental league, which is known as the G League, on Twitch, which is a live streaming video site owned by the online retail giant Amazon.com.
Twitch.
Yes. Okay. So maybe not familiar with to a lot of fans out there, but it is very big with young people, and I think that's part of the reason why they're trying to do this, to get more young people to watch these broadcasts. Fans are not going to be only able to watch the games, but they're going to be able to view stats and player information live and chat with other fans while watching the game. So that's part of it too, to make it a more interactive experience. This all comes just a few months after NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says he envisions NBA broadcasts in the future looking like Twitch, allowing fans to be more interactive instead of just passively watching games. So this could be the wave of the future. We'll see how it works with the developmental league, the G League as it's called. And before long, maybe sometime in 2018, we might see NBA games where you can chat with fans and click on players and see their stats in real time.
What about camera angles, Andrew? Do you see those changing with this new Twitch affiliation?
I think so. It's all about creating a more immersive experience. I wouldn't be surprised even if they embrace things like virtual reality. You can put on a headset and watch as though you're right there on the floor. So I think all of that is going to make sports much more exciting to watch, and certainly the league's hope more people will be watching.
We got about a minute left in the program, Andrew. Anything else trending?
Yes, it's getting close to the end of the year, so we have our top trends of the year coming out, and Google has released their top global sporting event searches for 2017. It's a mouthful to say all that. But we'll have the first half of the top 10 list today. Number 10 was the UEFA Champions League, of course, won by Real Madrid. Number 9 was the NBA playoffs, third year in a row featuring the Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. Number 8, the FIFA Confederations Cup, Germany winning its first title there in Russia. Number 7 was the U.S. Open. Of course, we had the All-American semifinal on the women's side, and Rafael Nadal winning on the men's. And number 6, the Australian Open, Serena Williams winning her 23rd Grand Slam title, putting her at the top of the sport. And Roger Federer getting number 18 in that Fedal final, Rafa and Roger playing in the final there. So we'll have the top half of the list, number 5 through 1, tomorrow. So tune in for that.
I guess you could say tennis was served in this Google search.
Yes, and I will give you a hint. It's being served up again tomorrow in the top 5.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the December 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Through its binational commission with Nigeria, the U.S. hopes to find new areas of collaboration with regard to security cooperation, economic growth and development, and democracy and governance. In the northwest region of Nigeria, Boko Haram and ISIS West Africa have wrought a great deal of destruction on the Nigerian people, forcing more than 2 million to flee from their homes. Speaking in Nigeria, Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan said, "I want to emphasize that the United States is Nigeria's partner in this fight. We are committed to helping the Nigerian people provide their own security." The U.S. has helped Nigeria modernize its military, but a military response alone in the Northeast cannot lead to sustained peace, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan. Nigeria's success requires improvements to the economy and governance off the battlefield, including credible investigations of human rights violations and mechanisms to hold those guilty accountable for their actions. To help those affected by Boko Haram rebuild their lives, Deputy Secretary Sullivan announced that the U.S. Agency for International Development will contribute an additional $45.5 million. The United States will continue to support food security and nutrition programs in Nigeria, including development programs focused on the northeastern states. Predictable economic policies and a transparent justice system are necessary to create an environment for growth and to attract businesses and investment to Nigeria. Sufficient energy resources are critical to fueling growth in Nigeria. Through the U.S. government's Power Africa initiative, the U.S. will help the Nigerian government serve the majority of Nigerians who currently lack access to electricity. In particular, Deputy Secretary Sullivan announced a $1.3 million project to address the shortage of gas available for gas-fired power plants under the Power Africa initiative. Finally, in addition to supporting the security and economic growth of Nigeria, the United States recognizes that good governance is necessary to sustain both over the long term. Fighting corruption and ensuring free and fair elections will make the government of Nigeria more accountable to its people and better equipped to secure its citizens and keep its economy growing. The United States looks forward to working with Nigeria to reach their shared security, development, and governance goals.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Mpoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 1730 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering Africa news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.